A very good afternoon to you. My name is Zan. Welcome to Your Green Voice, where we're putting the environment center stage, highlighting the positive and hopefully inspiring you to help our lovely blue planet go a little bit more green. And we have a guest with us, Gavin Miller. He's from Friends of Itchen Estuary, and on Saturday they have a very important event celebrating the Itchen Estuary at St. Denny's Boat Club. And it's going to be called Toes in the Water for a very good reason. And Gavin is going to explain more in a moment. But first of all, welcome to the show, Gavin. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm very pleased to be here.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted you're here on a lovely sunny day, because this morning I was looking a bit grey. And you cycled up here as well.
That's right, yeah.
You enjoy cycling around Southampton?
Oh, I do very much, sometimes further afield.
But how far can you get in a day?
Planning a trip to Bewley on Friday morning, and on occasion up to 100 kilometres a day.
Fantastic. Do you get to take in the view, or are you sort of focused on the cycling?
Well, that depends on who I cycle with. Uh-huh. If I cycle with a friend, I'm struggling to keep up with him, so I don't look at the view very much. But if I'm cycling on my own or with my wife, I go more slowly.
Yeah. And I met someone once who had just learned to cycle at the age of 35, 40, something like that. I wouldn't give their age away, but to them, they said it felt like flying. They'd never cycled when they were a kid, so it just felt like flying. What does it feel like to you when you've got a really good ride going on?
It does bring about a sense of freedom, yes. Mm. Particularly if the wind's behind you.
Yes. Yes, that's a very good point. I am reminded of, yes, when I used to cycle, and having a headwind was really horrible. It's very difficult. Have you got electric yet?
No, I don't.
Do you think you will?
One day, yes. But for the moment, no electric.
It'll be your Bob Dylan moment, won't it?
Yes, maybe.
For those who don't understand what we're talking about, search Bob Dylan and electric guitar and all will be revealed. This Saturday, there is going to be music involved at an event called Toes in the Water. I do believe it's the ukulele.
The ukulele jam.
Ukulele jam. Southampton's ukulele jam will be down there. And there's going to be a photo op. But the main aim is that this is a regular yearly event celebrating the Itchen Estuary.
It's an event which celebrates community, music, art, the Itchen Estuary. And in previous years, there's been a social swim. But because of concerns about the level of sewage contamination of the Itchen Estuary, the swim has been shelved this year. So it is literally toes in the water this year.
Are you a regular swimmer in the Itchen?
Not particularly. I live next to the river. I'm more likely to be on the river in a kayak or perhaps a sailing boat of some sort.
Because actually, that end of last year, you were very helpful in talking about how the flood defences are around the Itchen and down St. Denny's, wasn't it?
That's right, yes.
And yeah. You're on the flood watch there. That's mainly more of a tidal flood watch, isn't it, than a...
It's, yes, it's a tidal thing, and we are at risk of flooding if there's a high tide combined with what's called a storm surge. Fortunately, that doesn't happen too often, but it's something we have to be prepared for.
So with the Itchen, and there you are down there looking at it. It's a different part of the Itchen, of course, as it goes back up to its source. There are lots of different variations to it. What do you like about this stretch of the Itchen?
Many things. It's the largest open space in Southampton. It's a blue space and a green space, so it combines water and parks. It has huge potential for recreation, paddleboarding, kayaking, sailing, rowing, and many people use it for that. Sometimes people swim in the river, and many people every day will go for a walk alongside the river, cycle by the river, take their dog for a walk by the river. So it's hugely important, and it's struck me as somewhat curious that Southampton has this great reputation for green spaces and trees and parks, an enviable reputation. Yet, as a coastal city, we don't seem to put the same value on the Itchen Estuary as an open space in Southampton.
I agree with that, actually. It's you very rarely see it. You cross it.
Yes.
I don't know which is the nicest crossing, because it depends if the tide's in or out, actually. And they've tied it up Northern Bridge. It's quite a regular crossing for me. But I love going past over the Bittern. Cobden Bridge?
Cobden Bridge is further up. Right. Connects Bittern Park with St. Denis.
Right. So, but it's just, that feels a little bit like, I don't know, like not like Paris, but you know what I mean? There's something about the green space and everything. But it is sort of generally hidden, even down by St. Mary's Stadium. You can't see the Itchen when you're at the stadium itself. It's all hidden behind stuff. So why do you think we've done that?
I don't know. Not really. I guess it's because, as you say, it's perhaps not so obvious as the larger open spaces like the Common. And for other reasons, I'm not sure.
Yes. Maybe, I mean, it's maybe business. I think I was very lucky to do the tour of the vaults in Southampton, in the city centre, and it was all about the merchants and how it's important for the merchants to do their trade, importing and exporting, and how they developed the port to help them import and export. And, of course, the port is there for the cruisers, the passengers coming in and out, the goods and everything. And maybe the Itchen, in a way, is the same, because beside it is business, if you think about. Even going back to one of my favourite stories about the Itchen is R.J. Mitchell, who was the inventor, the designer behind the Spitfire.
At Supermarine, yeah.
Supermarine, yes. Yeah. And it was just on the other side of the River Gorleston. For inspiration, he used to get into his little dinghy, just like you, and used to sail up the Itchen when he had a problem to solve. And he found that was the best way of clearing his mind and getting around. But everywhere down there, it's just industry. I presume there are some houses, and you can see some of it. But maybe we're just so focused on business here, pleasure takes the back seat. In fact, am I right in thinking that Bittern is the only bit of green space beside it? Until you get to Southampton Water.
Well, going down from the top, you have Riverside Park, which stretches from Woodmill down to Cobden Bridge. On the opposite bank, there's Pettinger Gardens and Janaway Gardens. And then, of course, coming down that west side, you've got the Boardwalk, which takes you down to Northern Bridge. On the other side, we have a very important nature reserve, and SSSI at Chesil Bay. That's fairly tucked away, but it's a very pleasant place to visit and has great value for overwintering seabirds, migratory seabirds, internationally important.
I've never heard of it.
So there's a lot there. Some of it's a little bit tucked away. But if you think about it, actually the existence of Southampton was really to do with the Itchen Estuary from the very early days. Romans, Saxons, Clausentum, the old Saxon town on the other side. And as you say, it's been very important for the development of industry. And there's a very rich history to the Itchen Estuary, which is another reason I like it so much.
Now, you're part of the Citizen Science Project that's been studying the water. I think we might talk about that in the next part. But it's this work that you've been doing on sampling the water that's stopping people swimming on Saturday. Is that just recent, or is this something that's been slowly building up and the data has become irrefutable and it's just a good advice for people not to swim in the Itchen at the moment?
Well, we started sampling the river water last summer with a lot of support from Surfers Against Sewage, who provided training and funding. We followed the method that the Environment Agency would use if they're officially assessing the quality of water at bathing water sites. And we followed their way of categorizing water. So after a lot of careful sampling and sending off samples to an accredited laboratory for analysis, we came to the very clear conclusion that the water quality is poor. By that I mean poor according to the Environment Agency categorization of bathing water. In fact, I would say it's somewhere south of poor. And unfortunately, I don't want to put people off using the river for paddle boarding and kayaking and swimming and so on, but I can't withhold the information either. So we felt that it was necessary to publicise our findings, and that has put people off swimming in the river.
So obviously, Southern Water are not here to answer these questions, but the have you put this to them, and what have they said to you?
They are aware of the results. I've sent them a summary. I've discussed it with representatives of Southern Water in person. The people that we see from Southern Water are very sympathetic, and they're concerned, and they say that they would like to do something about it, and they'll take it away and come back to us, but there's been no progress.
And where is this poorness coming from? What's actually causing the bad quality in the water?
It's difficult to be 100% sure, but the evidence that we have points to the sewage works in St. Denis, called the Portswood Sewage Works, and to the sewage effluent that comes out from that plant continuously, 24/7. The volume, according to Southern Water's information, is equivalent to just under 6 Olympic swimming pools worth per day, and the bacterial levels in that water are high or very high. Now, there is also bacterial and sewage contamination coming down the river from above Woodmill. So it's very likely that the sewage works in Eastleigh is also a big contributor.
Because I was just about to ask, have you sampled the water upstream? You're sampling the Itchen estuary, but have you been able to sample further up the Itchen?
We sampled in two places with the intention of trying to work out how much of the sewage pollution was coming from the sewage works in St. Denis. So we sampled above Woodmill in the fresh water, and also at Cobden Bridge, which is just downstream of Portswood Sewage Works.
And the results were worse downstream of the sewage works at Portswood?
They were poor in both cases, but they were more poor, if you like, downstream by Cobden Bridge.
And how is your feeling about this? Are you frustrated or angry or optimistic that something can be done about this?
I feel very strongly that something needs to be done about it. I feel that it's not acceptable for water companies to be offloading the costs of sewage treatment onto the environment. I feel that it's highly likely that the sewage pollution has got worse over the years as populations have grown and people use more water. And I feel that investment has been inadequate. So I feel very strongly about it. Am I optimistic? I'm optimistic that in the long term, this is something that will be tackled. But the frustration is that it might take 10 or 20 years before we see any measurable improvement unless we succeed in putting pressure on the authorities, on politicians, and on Southern Water to improve much more rapidly.
Would you, how would you want people to help? I mean, I can imagine coming to the event at St. Denis Boat Club would be a good place for people to gather and lend their support.
It would be. and it's a very popular event. So we're sold out. We will be having further meetings that people can come to. There was a very successful meeting recently led by one of our local councillors in St. Denis Church. We had a good session with Southern Water, who came along and listened to our concerns, took away a lot of questions. I think the best way to get involved would be to visit our Facebook page. We're launching a crowdfunder later today or tomorrow. We're looking for funds to conduct some fairly intensive water quality sampling so that we can make a submission to Southern Water and the authorities, pointing out the need for investment in the local sewage works, particularly the addition of UV treatment for the sewage effluent, which would dramatically reduce the bacterial contamination of the river.
That sounds quite a simple thing to do. You maybe get one installed in Eastleigh as well.
Well, this sort of treatment has been installed in the sewage works in Woolston and Millbrook. It could be installed in Portswood. As I understand it, and I'm still on a steep learning curve here, but as I understand it, the costs of running UV treatment would be the expensive bit in terms of energy and staffing costs and general running costs.
Right. Okay. Well, that's very interesting. Now, the Facebook page is Friends of Itchen Estuary?
Friends of the Itchen Estuary. Okay. I haven't put details of the crowdfunder on there, but they will be there very shortly. Okay. And there's a lot of interesting discussion about the river, about the sewage and pollution challenges and so on.
Well, we're going to take a pause for the moment, reflect, and come back with more questions for Gavin Miller from Friends of Itchen Estuary, and also talk more about the environment in Southampton in general, because this is Your Green Voice.
From every culture
over the world
to right here
in our port and our city,
people make
Southampton Voice FM.
Be Green Cleaning.
Great cleaning doesn't need to cost the earth. I'm Sean Brogan, founder of Be Green Cleaning. And if you want office cleaning that's effective, long-lasting, and saves you money by reducing staff sick days, then call in Be Green Cleaning to show you the benefits of probiotic cleaning agents. Probiotic cleaning naturally removes bugs and dirt and can keep on working even after application. So, it's good for the planet and it's great for your staff. If you want a great cleaning service that is kinder, flexible, principled and really cares about cleaning, then visit begreencleaning.co.uk and book a no obligation quotation from
Be Green Cleaning.
It's Ace. There is a new type of business networking in the area, one that mixes charities and voluntary organisations with the SME business community. It's a great way to communicate with people you don't meet day to day, and there's always the potential for new opportunities. It's called ACE Community Business Networking and meets on the third Thursday of every month at the King Rufus in Chandler's Ford. Guest speakers at every monthly meeting, yearly membership £240. And it's ACE.
On sunny Southampton's Voice FM, that's Noah Kahan and Stick Season. My name is Anne. A very good afternoon to you. This is Your Green Voice. We're talking about the environment every Thursday at 2 o'clock. Our guest is Gavin Miller. He is principally from Friends of Itchen Estuary. And in this previous part of the show, we were talking about the Itchen being poor water quality. This is thanks to citizen science. And Gavin, I don't think we've really touched on it, but what made you decide that citizen science was the way to go forward? What's frustrating you?
Well, I've sailed most of my life, and I'm fortunate to live next to the river, and I spent a lot of time during the pandemic working from home, looking over the river, and thinking what a wonderful view and a wonderful place it is, and feeling that I'd like to do something to improve the river and to help Southampton, help the people of Southampton better appreciate its value. So I think the impetus came from there. And I didn't know what to do. I felt that sewage pollution was a big issue. So I thought I had to make a start from somewhere. I got some sample bottles. I contacted the laboratory in Fareham. I went up the river in my kayak, and I put the bottles in the water, and I took them down to the lab in Fareham and asked them to report back on the bacterial content of the water.
What did they say?
It turned out that it was very high. It's measured in terms of what's called colony-forming units per 100 mils. It's quite a precise measurement. I continued doing that for a bit, and then I found out that Surface Against Sewage were sponsoring a national campaign for clean rivers. And they've been fantastic. They've put a lot of time and resources into that. They've been inspirational. They've got people together. They've provided training. They've funded testing. And so that meant that we were then able to make use of that to do the testing in a more scientific way, producing results from an accredited laboratory, which we thought would be difficult for people to gainsay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if Southern Water were here, they'd be saying, well, it's within guidelines, surely.
There is no, there's a thing called a consent. It's a permission to discharge sewage effluent into the river. It's how water companies or water treatment works are regulated and controlled, but it does not contain any requirement regarding the level of bacteria going into the river.
So, as far as it's definitely not drinking quality, then.
No.
Now, if you did drink it, do you know what would happen?
I think that I'd get very ill.
Very ill. We talk about big bad stomach bug, yes?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So therefore, if someone was thinking of boarding it down the river or on a kayak, as you say, don't fall in. And if you do fall in, don't take the water.
I don't want to overplay the risk. And when you asked me, would I drink it, I thought you were referring to the effluent coming out the sewage works.
No. The river, the water, if you fell in, would you be worried?
I'd be concerned. If I fell in, I'd try to keep my mouth shut. Once I got out, I'd wash my hands. I'd shower and be particularly careful before I ate anything. I have been ill after swimming in the river a long time ago. I went under a boat to clear a rope off a propeller, and I was pretty sick afterwards. I think it's very important to draw people's attention to the risks, but neither do I want to overplay the risks.
I get very frustrated when I hear that this is happening. Especially when you start learning more about the river and how important it is to the animal life that lives in it. And the Atlantic salmon is one thing, a fish that spawns in the river. And then there's these Sargassa eels, which I initially, until today, thought they spawned in the Itchen and then travelled to the Sargassa Sea. But they spawn in the Sargassa Sea and travel to the River Itchen, bizarrely enough, and then live here until they get to a ripe old age and then pop back to spawn in there, which is I don't understand why. It's a remarkable thing. But we as a group of people, everyone who's along the Itchen has a better responsibility for what the water quality is like and to give these fish and eels the best chance possible. Do you know if the
if the quality of the water is affecting the content, the abundance of salmon and eels in the itchen?
I think it's very difficult to say. I'm no expert, but I think that there are a lot of environmental pressures on migratory salmon. Pollution would be one of them, but then there are factors at sea, perhaps fishing or overfishing, and the temperature of the water is critical. We had record high temperatures for the sea around the UK last summer. That doesn't help. And then as the salmon go upstream into the freshwater, there are other issues in terms of low river levels due to increasingly hot, dry summers, but also over-abstraction of the water. So there are a multitude of pressures. All I can say is that I'm sure that the pollution in the Itchen estuary doesn't help.
So that's a very good point that you make there, because you can look at one figure and another figure and put a conclusion in front of your face. But when you point out that there's various other factors, and you're absolutely right about the sea temperatures, and even I haven't reported it yet, but because it's just waiting to see what happens. But the sea temperatures at the moment seem to be very high for winter, and the charts are actually a massive gap between what it's normally like and what it's like now, and that's very worrying for the animals in the sea. But you're also right about what's happening upstream, and that is the amazing thing about the salmon is it does spend most of its time in salt water, but then spawns in fresh water. It's a remarkable creature, absolutely remarkable.
It is. Can we just go back briefly to what I was saying about illness related to water activities?
Oh, yes.
We'd very much like to discover more about this. We hear stories, we hear anecdotes of people being ill after swimming or paddleboarding and falling in, but there's no systematic evidence. Surfers Against Sewage have promoted an app where you can report illness after swimming, and it's also possible on the website, but we have very limited information locally. So we've put out a call on our Facebook page for people to come forward with accounts of being ill after swimming or paddleboarding or kayak and so on. And that would be very helpful if we can gather that together, because I think that then it would be a possible to put in an application or to promote the idea of a proper scientific study of the relationship between sewage pollution and the health impacts.
So we're generally looking, I think paddleboarders are more than likely to fall in. I don't know, kayaking, you're fairly steady.
Yes, but you get splashes from the paddles, and of course the water's on your hands, and you know, maybe if you eat something without washing your hands, you could be at risk. As I said, I don't want to overplay these risks, but I don't want to downplay them either.
But you just need anyone who's been working, playing, enjoying the river, 24 hours later they've gone down with a bug. It'd be fantastic to get in contact with the friends of the Itchen estuary.
Yes, either by messaging me via our Facebook page or commenting on the post that I put on yesterday.
Okay, lovely. I'll be very interested to see how many people it is in the end, because there's one thing you don't see much of, people going up and down the river, apart from the sailing clubs. Maybe I go across the Northern Bridge too much.
Maybe you go across at the wrong times, but from where I sit and was sitting during lockdown, there are, it seems, very frequent streams of boats going up and down, rowing, and at the weekends, particularly in the summer, kayaking, paddleboarding, canoeing, and dinghy sailing are popular.
So when you paint a lovely picture of you sitting there looking at the river going past, and it sounds very peaceful and relaxing. And I was wondering, did the river call out to you, do you think? Did it call out to Gavin? Gavin?
Maybe. I'm fascinated by the changing appearance of the river. Stormy, dark, a little bit forbidding. And then perhaps in the winter there'll be bright sunny days with splinters of sunlight coming off the water, and it looks very different. And of course it can be very tranquil and beautiful in the summer.
And has it changed its colour?
The colours really a function of the colour in the sky. That's what you see when you look at the water. If you peer down into the depths, then yes, it can look a bit murky sometimes. But it's very difficult to draw any conclusions from that, because it could be runoff from upstream. The mud gets stirred up and so on. It doesn't really tell you a lot about the level of sewage contamination.
So we shouldn't be expecting in the future, when we get it right with the climates and the environment and we're at one with Mother Nature, expect beautiful, clean rivers flowing through our cities. There will be a bit of mud, there will be a bit of churn.
Yes, I think so. I think that it's a muddy river estuary, and it's, I think, hugely important for its natural value, as I was saying. But yes, we're never going to have sparkling, clear water like you might see on your holidays in Greece or the Caribbean.
I've been talking about the event on the breakfast show, on Your Green Breakfast, the Toes in the Water event this Saturday at St. Denny's Boat Club. And I think you just said it was sold out.
So yes.
I didn't realise it's a ticketed event.
Yes, we have to limit the numbers due to fire regulations. There's a limited capacity in the boat club.
So roughly how many people are going to be there?
I don't know. I guess it's going to be around about 100, but I'm guessing. I should know, but I don't.
You don't know. Well, it's, numbers are numbers, aren't they? But that sounds like a good body of people, and they are committed to the cause. Or are you hoping to gain some new recruits there?
I think there were a lot of people there that feel very passionate about the river, particularly people from the boat club. And it's a fantastic boat club. It's been there since Victorian times. There's a great selection of rowing boats, kayaks, canoes, and sailing boats. There will be open water swimmers who in previous years have swum in the river, and a variety of other people from the community. So it's a great community event. There's a lot of joy associated with it.
So if you hadn't done the citizen science project, would they still be swimming?
I think so, yes.
And they might be getting sick at the same time, and they'd carry on swimming and getting sick? Or do you think they build up a resistance?
I would say that, as I keep going back to saying that I don't want to overplay the risks, I don't want to underplay them either. So I think if people swim in the river, then there is a chance of them getting gastroenteritis or perhaps an ear or eye or skin infection. But it's not going to happen every time by any means.
Because I was thinking of doing this. I was looking at getting some kind of GoPro camera so I could interview people and in the water, swimming around, possibly in a wetsuit. But maybe not in a wetsuit, but I just don't feel like it now at all. And is it a winter thing or is it a summer thing, or is it just at the moment all year round it's best just to keep your distance from the water?
I think it's more likely to be it's going to be more polluted in the winter due to storm overflows. But unfortunately, the effluent which pours into the river is a 24/7 all year round thing, so that there is some risk there all the time.
Because the summers are going to get hotter and people are going to be tempted. And if they don't know about the citizen science, the stuff that you're doing, then potentially they're putting themselves at risk, I suppose.
Yes, yes. But I don't think the risks necessarily are huge on any one occasion, but it's important that people can feel safe when they're taking part in water activities and swimming. And it would be a great shame if people felt unable to make use of the river for recreation because of those risks. I will have no compunction about continuing to kayak, canoe, or row on the river. But I will be a bit cautious about swimming in the river.
So overall, have you always been a sort of environmental person? You said you've always sailed, and a lot of sailors, of course, are one with nature, with they understand how powerful it is. It can be a friend most of the time, sometimes a little bit tricksy. But as far as sort of concern from the environment, has that always been part of your nature, or is this something that's grown up over time?
It's grown over time. I was lucky enough many years ago to sail across the Atlantic, and that was a real revelation in terms of feeling at one with nature. I suppose that was a start of a more active interest in the environment.
Was that solo, or was that with a...
With a crew, with a crew.
And so that oneness, I've never experienced that. I've never been across the Atlantic. I would like to be that far out, days out into the middle of nowhere. And just because I hear it is quite a lively place. There's lots going on there. There are birds, there's things in the water, leaping out fish, what have you. But can you just sort of describe to a listener who hasn't done that what it feels like?
There's a sense of being very small in the middle of a vast ocean with thousands of feet of water depth beneath you and a huge sky above you. So there's a great feeling of being a small speck in a very large world and a very large universe, but also at the same time feeling very connected to it. So that's perhaps that's the essence of where concern about the environment comes from, or something like that.
And the night sky must have been fantastic.
It was, yeah.
Do you have a favourite constellation? We were looking up there, do you think, I was always attracted to one particular point?
No, I don't think so, but I was very aware of the whole rhythm of night and day, the stars wheeling overhead, the sun coming up and going down again.
Well, Gavin Miller, it's been a pleasure listening to your citizen science, everything that's coming out about the Itchen Estuary and the good and the bad, and we wish your team the best of luck in the coming months, especially with the event on Saturday at St. Denis Boat Club, sadly sold out. So next year, if you feel like going, get your ticket early. And also, please keep us updated regarding the Citizen Science Project and the sampling, and especially if anyone gets in contact with you about their any stomach bugs or anything picked up from the Itchen since visiting by board, or by sail, or by kayak.
Yes, if people can let us know their stories, if anybody's been ill after swimming, that would be immensely helpful. Thanks for inviting me, and I look forward to keeping you updated as to how things progress.
And the Facebook page, the best place to go to is?
Friends of the Itchen Estuary.
That's the one. Brilliant. Gavin, thank you very much for being on Your Green Voice.
Thank you.
Voice FM.
Do you want to be a panicking parent or guardian? Get essential first aid lessons for saving children and infants from MAPA training. You'll be taught how to respond in a quick and calm manner in situations such as choking, allergic reactions, child CPR and head injuries. MAPA also has online videos so you can have a quick refresh before going on any adventure. every parent and guardian should have first aid skills. Prices start at £40, group discount available. Visit mappertraining.com.
Sweet Pea Florists, Bridge Road, Wolston.
Sweet Pea Florists, for all occasions and celebrations. Sweet Pea Florists.
Call Southampton 02380 433154 or visit them at sweetpeaflorists.co.uk. Flowers for all occasions.
Sweet Pea Florists.
Visit the girls in the flower shop on the corner of Bridge Road and Defender Road, Wolston.
Voice FM.
Voice FM.